Eureka! You found us! Welcome to the Check Out California Radio Show, your key to California hospitality. Hosted by Rad Gantos, principal of Rad Gantos & Associates, a hospitality and commercial real estate design firm, and Craig Sullivan, executive vice president of ParkWest GC, a hospitality and commercial real estate general contractor. Check Out California is focused on our state's hospitality, travel, and tourism markets, and on the large part they play in California's vibrant and innovative economic diversity and unique quality of life. Now, here are your hosts, Rad Gantos and Craig Sullivan.
Good afternoon and welcome to Check Out California. I am Craig Sullivan.
And I'm Rod Gantos.
And we've got two very special guests in the studio with us today, and we'll have a third one calling in. But we've got Mr. Taylor Jacobs, New Image.
New Crest Image.
New Crest Image. Sorry, I knew I was going to do that. And then we've got David Bowman from Amber Hotel Company and the current CLIA president. And we will go into CLIA and what that acronym is a little later in the show.
Great.
Thank you and welcome.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having us in here.
Great
to have you guys.
Yeah.
Sit back a little bit. We got a full house here, so we're just making sure that everybody gets equal airtime and camera time. So,
Taylor, tell us a little bit about your company and
absolutely.
What you're doing out in the West now.
Sure. Yeah, Newcrest Image Hotels has been around, 25 years or so that the partners have been around. They based out of Dallas, Texas. Really upscale, mid-scale, upper-mid-scale, upscale development, and the portfolios continue to trend up that way.
Nice.
We are hotel developers and operators. Up to this point, we operate all of our own hotels and enjoy the hotel industry and everything that comes along with it. You know, we really enjoy operating our own hotels. We love our associates. We really key in on that culture. And so through and through the business is the hospitality culture. And so they've been doing it for now.
Your family business.
Years. It's
too.
A family business. Yeah.
There you go.
Which I really enjoy.
Through.
Yeah, absolutely. So thanks for having us on.
Oh, thank you. You know, full disclosure, I've known Taylor's family for, 20 plus years. His mom and dad are two of the nicest people on the planet. And his dad, Eric Jacobs over at Marriott, and I met at the Sequoia Center 100 years ago when that was still in existence. He was working for Brand X then, and he was not in his booth like the rest of the franchise guys were. He was doing laps, and he had a clipboard and a pen and 10 people behind him. He was like the Pied Piper, and he was writing down what area they wanted to develop in, their name and their contact information, and then they split off. And I was just making the transition over to hospitality then. And I said, I got to meet this guy. And I walked right up to him, stopped him in the middle of the floor and said, I'm Craig Sullivan. We shook hands. We've been friends ever since. And Taylor and I met initially at a surf camp.
It was a surf camp.
Down at San Clemente.
Meeting.
Yeah. And you were probably preteen then.
Yeah, I had to have been.
I'm feeling old.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm feeling honored. I get to be doing in the business with you guys. So.
Oh. Yeah, I'll tell you, it's great to have another generation of the family. And,
yeah.
Your family's had a huge impact, certainly throughout California and the rest of the country. And I can't think of anybody who is truly more respected than your dad is in the business. So yeah. It's a great thing to have you here, and I really appreciate you coming on
Absolutely.
The show.
Absolutely. Gladly to be here.
So are you looking at development deals here in California right now? Or
Yeah, we're actively pursuing. So a lot of our development, we got, I think, almost 2,000 rooms in the pipeline right now.
Wow.
In Texas, Oklahoma, New Orleans specifically. And then we did our first deal on the West Coast. We're going to be building a hotel in downtown Phoenix.
Nice.
AC down there. So, but in terms of California, absolutely. We're actively looking at spending a lot of time flying down here. We're looking actively in Los Angeles and in Orange County specifically. We really like what's going on down here. Obviously, there's more demand than supply in a lot of these submarkets.
And absolutely. So what is it that's going on down here that's attractive for you guys to basically look at California?
For us, it's aging product in certain submarkets that have been locked down for a long time. High barrier to entry markets. You know, Texas is not a high barrier to entry
market. No, not at all.
Places, right. Right? And so when we're looking at how do we reposition the portfolio and where do we want to really spend our time in this, especially this time of the cycle, where do we want to be building? It's in those high barrier to entry markets. And so how can we find little pockets within these places that might be undersupplied, right, where we can find that strong demand? That's really what's attractive to us. There's a lot of strong fundamentals that still exist. Yeah.
Tell us a little about your development. You've had a rather interesting project in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Again, there's no zoning and a few other things. Pretty easy.
Pretty quick.
Yeah. But you're doing a campus there. And is part of that modular or?
Well, so we just completed a modular project in Oklahoma City, an hotel. Actually, an interesting little case study because we have a Hyatt Place coming in that should open here next month. That's right next to the AC, and they were started at the exact same time. So we had the modular go up, and then the traditional go up, and so it's a really interesting case study. But that just happened, and then we also do have a very interesting development. You know, Hillwood Companies has a large mixed use center called the Star at Frisco Station, which is where the new Cowboys headquarters is. And we're doing a 600 hotel campus there, right there next to that. And it's a mixed use lifestyle center. So we also have one that we're doing on our own piece of land. That's going to be a 600 room campus for hotels as well that we're adding to a dual brand hotel that we have
very
in the
nice
submarket. But we really like that play is mixed use lifestyle centers and being a hotel component or helping to create that atmosphere. You know, the one specifically near DFW, we've been invested in that market for, ever since the company has really started. That's really some of the big, some of the first big transactions and developments were there in that Grapevine market. And that's it's a funny little strip. They have some interesting requirements where you have to have conference space attached. You have to have a minimum number of rooms. And Newcrest Image came in and created alongside with the city, you know, how do we get non-full service? Because you hear 10,000 square feet, you hear 300, you hear full service hotels, right?
Right.
How do we do that? And so, they brought in, how about 300 keys select serve with a conference facility and really activate that? And then, so that's really where we've come in is we've created select service with conference space. And it's right next to the Gaylord. It's right next to the Great Wolf Lodge. These are the big ones
we're competing with.
And so we created this little niche, and it's a great market, and we enjoy it, and partnering with the city and creating a lot of jobs. great labor force there.
You guys have always been very active in the communities that you not only in Dallas, but Oklahoma City and various other communities that you come into. You look at the impact and how you can be a positive force for not only the associates that you hire in the local community, but the surrounding area in general.
Absolutely. Grapevine, very much partnership.
Yeah.
We just delivered a new Embassy Suites in Amarillo, and we had a courtyard, which is a historic adaptive reuse project that won some awards, and it's a beautiful courtyard in Amarillo. And we've invested in that market significantly, and that was the same thing. How do we partner to help? What are they trying to do, and what is the city trying to do, and how can we enable that vision well?
Right.
As well as in that area, what labor force is there that is waiting to work hard that just doesn't have places to work. So we've very, very much so. It's always been a group effort. The projects that go the best are the ones where everybody's bought in.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
I was just up in Hawthorne. There was a stacking event, a modular, big 350 room hotel going in Hawthorne. And same thing. That's a big hotel, big investment for that city. But the city was bought in from the beginning, which obviously made that, a lot more attractive for everybody involved, from lenders to,
I mean, you have an option of basically being a developer or you being a catalyst in the community. Right.
No, that's what Really Real said.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And if you're vested in it from the beginning, I mean, it's not just an esoteric thing. It's also a smart business move.
Right.
On everything, including processing. And, now you got a partner in the city and in some of these areas that are really in dire need for not just a hospitality project, but actually a catalyst, an economic catalyst. I mean, that's really the only way to do it and have a sustainable shelf life because of it.
Yep.
Well, I think that's a big part of it. You've got to be sustainable. You're there for the long haul. You're not there for a 2 to 3 year hold and out.
Exactly.
I mean, we do have you know, those people in our industry, and that's part of the cycle. But if you look at, and we were having a little bit of a discussion over lunch today, and Rad didn't make it as always. He's got his own show.
Because he always has lunch meetings when I have my own show.
Yeah. But, yeah, we were discussing, you know, Anaheim and various other areas where, you know, those are almost generational holds at a certain point. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's one of the things I like about, you know, Taylor's second generation in the industry. He's working for a generationally owned family business that is now on a level where you've done, what, 3 or 4 AC hotels already in the United States?
See, we did the first one over New Orleans. We just
beautiful
we
hotel.
Did the AC Bricktown. We just delivered AC Downtown Dallas, which is beautiful.
Yeah.
It's adaptive reuse. It's 249 rooms, a residence in, and an AC stacked on top
wow.
of each other.
Wow.
Nice.
And it's just beautifully done. It was actually an economic catalyst. I mean, it was on the edge of Downtown Dallas that is basically the last part before you go onto the freeways of Deep Ellum.
Yeah.
It was a vacant building for 10, mm-hmm. 12 years, maybe more than that.
Wow.
And then, you know, you really create this life down there that city wants, and you know, the people that are downtown.
Well, and depending on the building, you also have that built-in legacy, that built-in, you know, history, that built-in place in the community that you could maybe draw on or amplify, right?
Yeah.
So it's actually a smart move as far as differentiation of product.
Absolutely. Yeah, we absolutely agree. I think you hit the nail on the head. It really differentiates the product. You know, you pull in the brands that can pull in the you know, the loyalty customers, but you really are a hotel that separates yourself from the pack. It's not just your standard residence.
Before you even open.
Before you even open. There's buzz around it. Right.
Yeah.
It's not, it's just another residence in. Oh, that, you know, that building at the end of downtown that's been just vacant. Oh, that thing's going to be a hotel. It's going to have an awesome bar. It's going to have an awesome, you know.
It's got a life of its own.
In certain markets, having a building that is adaptively reused is probably an easier path to get the project to be happening rather than something that's a ground up with certain height restrictions and a place in the community and footprint and parking and all this stuff. It especially in a down market, the cities tends to be more incentivized to actually do stuff with you as a partner.
Right. Yeah, there's definitely the more of a partner. There's more hoops to jump through.
Right.
There's a lot more unknowns when you buy a building that's been
right.
But absolutely, the partnership there and the walking through the actual process is a lot more.
I'm reminded, Taylor. I was at Hospitality Design, I think, a couple of years ago, and there was a project that was basically being showcased that is the old fire station building in Detroit.
Okay.
Right. That was adapted, reused into a boutique, and then there was another one that was being done in Asbury Park.
Oh,
okay,
wow.
That was an old post office building from the 1960s. Right, and it's really interesting because not only just the environmental influence and inspiration that can come into the differentiation of that product, but also these are areas that are basically needing that infusion and to come in as a partner versus just to put on another hotel project.
Right.
There's a shelf life. There's a decade's worth of investment in the community and support, and there's a buzz on it before you open your doors, and now it's possibly a training facility for these people that are we're in jobs that are no longer it's amazing. I mean, that you really are a partner with that community. Yeah.
And the other thing is, you know, to your point earlier, is what's attractive about some places in California. Now, there's been a lot of great adaptive reuse projects that Nomad just opened. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
This isn't, people aren't strangers to this idea.
Right.
But one of the great things about it, too, is how do you find an urban location? You know, these days
that's available.
To develop at a price that makes sense.
That makes sense.
Well, that's tough.
Yeah.
So if you can find these opportunities that have are historic and there's incentives attached and partners, you can get through the process quicker. You don't have to go build. You don't have to worry about necessarily all the ground up type stuff. Obviously, you still need subs to retrofit the building, those type things. But it's a lot
different. And you need the right skill set for that because that's a totally different animal.
But it's niche compared to the large scale.
Exactly.
If you bring in somebody that's used to basically ground up and you put him in a reno that has complexities, especially if it's a building that has sort of historical presence in the community, because there's also that added benefit, right? If you are a listed building and you're coming in to do an adaptive reuse, as long as you're sensitive to adaptive reuse, I'm putting on my historical society president hat on for a minute, okay. Right? I've been on a board in San Clemente, actually. You guys are talking great. About for, you know, 14 years.
Wow.
So there's tax benefits.
Yeah.
There's grant money. There's leverageable assets that can be done in that capacity. Parking is one of them. There's usually,
true.
You know, assistance with parking waivers. But the interesting thing is it's that you really need the right people.
Right. And
we're going to talk about that a little bit tomorrow at the conference, which mm-hmm. is why I believe these gentlemen are also going to be joining us tomorrow.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So I'm going to give a plug for my co-host because he's too humble to do it to himself. and I joke when I say that. No. I want to just give a shout out to Greg Sullivan here for putting on another year, second year in a row of a sellout conference
tomorrow.
For the California Lodging Investment Conference. It's taking place at the Hilton in Irvine. And we're going to talk about that. I'm going to moderate a panel on some of this stuff. And I think if you think outside the box, there's a lot of benefits, especially if you have the right people to leverage that going in. And one of them is something like that. Markets that are basically, you know, built out.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to go in and do that. You know, there's a gentleman that was the head of the National Trust for Historical Preservation
okay.
a few years ago that was awarded actually an environmental award, right? And the reason why he was awarded an environmental award was because he literally championed this philosophy. The most green building out there is an existing building.
Yeah. Building. Yeah.
Because that doesn't end up in the dump.
Right.
Right. And in a lot of cases, the quality of construction, depending on the age of the building, could actually be superior given the materials that went into it.
I think we ought to.
Right. So there's a cost saving in a way if you have the right team to leverage that. And then it's fascinating. I mean, we are actually housed in a building right now.
Yeah.
That's going through stuff right now that's in a very key location. To adaptively reuse it for something else, right? I mean, you even looked at it at one point, basically, possibly do that.
Yeah. So, I wanted to do a ground lease on it and build a hotel or turn it into a hotel.
A stone's throw away. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but a stone's throw away is like, you know, retail happened. Same thing in 94 with the lab and the camp going against the grain with South Coast Plaza. And here it is now the model by which people pursue this. It's awesome what you're talking about.
It's happening all over the nation, too, with retail and malls. They're trying, you know. As their model changes, they're trying to figure out what do we do with
large behemoths
buildings?
That no longer
there's adaptive reuse projects for hotels going on.
Well, I think we ought to put David to work. You know, we got David Bowman with us, and he's with Amber Hotel
Spectator, basically.
Well, that was part of it. But you know, we've got everything right here to put a deal together. So David, shag down the ownership of the Franklin Life Building at Wilshire and Western, and you know the Wiltern Theater's in there, so we can keep
that. He's really
good.
He's not even taking notes,
and we can turn it into something like the Ace Hotel in downtown LA. So yeah, that'd be a good adaptive reuse.
That would.
I worked in that building as a teenager, so I know it well. Oh, I used to sneak into the Wiltern Theater when it was a movie theater.
Well, did we just tap into like his nostalgic?
Every now
we need like a transition music.
Yeah,
when it's like a flashback.
Absolutely.
Yeah, a bunch of those motels in San Clemente on El Camino Real that could be in motiques now. Basically,
motiques. Oh, I haven't heard that before.
Motiques. Oh yeah, it came up on one of the shows.
We created that over
like
at Broughton Hotels when I was
motiques.
There. Motiques. Yeah.
In fact, somebody was telling us we had somebody on the show. I mean, it's a really exciting time. Especially when you've been in this industry for so long, to see it kind of reinvent and be flexible and fluid, right? One guy basically that was on the show, who was it that was on the show that was talking about motiques and talked about actually where somebody actually did an outside corridor new construction.
Was that Larry Brown?
In San Francisco. Was it Larry?
Or
somebody? No, it wasn't Larry. It was somebody else. But we're talking about they actually did in a desirable destination an outside corridor motique.
Hmm. I believe it. I've seen a couple. I've seen a couple like that. Not necessarily in California, but there's one where over in Austin that is way. It's that more retro.
Love that market.
And, you need about 200, 300 people like Greg that basically want to relive their nostalgia.
Well, I think that's easy.
There's no mirror in the ceiling and there's no fuzzy carpet on the floor. But you know, I like the vibe.
I like the fuzzy carpeting or the avocado green. So.
see, you thought the show was just going to stay solid, and you know, it's just going to go.
Oh
off the
no,
rest.
No, come on!
But we got about 2 minutes left, and Taylor's going to be taking off, and then we're going to come back with David Bowman. But I want to get one more question in. With ground-up construction in San Francisco being about $1 million a key, are you looking more at adaptive reuse or repositioning of a hotel asset in that market in particular?
In San Francisco downtown, absolutely. I mean, we've looked at some mixed-use development that need a hotel piece, where there's some efficiencies and they need a specific hotel developer to come in and provide some expertise. We'll entertain that. But yeah, a lot of the older product that could be repositioned, and we're willing to more risk at the redevelopment and reposition versus the, you know,
the new construction.
Makes a lot more sense. Looking for like smaller boutique, or are you looking for something that you can do in AC and get 100+ keys?
Well, we would look at it. It's hard to find that. A lot of the stuff out there is, you know, the old Union Square type product that's older, and you can go, if you can find it next to a parcel that you could add
like the Holiday Inn up there.
But that's definitely what we're looking for.
But I do know, like at the corner of Grant and Bush and being outside of Chinatown, there are office buildings there and they are zoned for either office or hotel. And you take a look at it and you guys have got the talented team in house to say, we can enhance this. We can, you know, the footprint's going to work for us. We can make it into a boutique and kind of go from there.
And we saw a lot of that happen in New York. I mean, there's a lot of that sort of financial district areas in these established, centers, business centers, where, you know, everybody between remote commuting now and, you know, more of the work, small work places, you know, that are popping up all over, entrepreneurship. These larger buildings, these mass buildings, especially in the 60s, you know, some really nice international architecture characteristics, open floor plans that could be remodified
it's not necessarily just old hotels. It really is those Class B, Class C office buildings. Empty.
You just need the right team that basically can envision it past.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely an effort.
Well, you know, unfortunately, this half hour is blown by.
Well, hold on. I have a question before we let him go. Because especially being in Texas, talking about Dallas. Now, Dallas went through a real revival, right? Just like a lot of the stuff that we're talking about. Is it still going on? Has it sort of plateaued? I'm just curious, relevant to that specific market.
Sure. Well, you know, there's the amount of people coming in is still astronomical. They still think they're going to sign one more large Fortune kind of 100 company to relocate. The mayor came out and said that they think that they'll bring one more in. So Plano, Toyota move in, Frisco, it's all expanding. I mean, it's cheap to live, great amenities. So the workforce can live there well. Yeah. It's cheap. Right. They can get paid well, get good jobs.
Yeah.
It's a good value prop.
Yeah.
So I still think it goes a little bit more.
And there's other places. I mean, I was just in Austin. Austin's doing the same thing. It's a different kind of industry focus, I think. More of a Silicon Valley kind of. Mm-hmm. But it was very interesting to watch. So anybody who's not paying attention to that, they should definitely look into that.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, well, we're getting the signal here. You know what? It's been a great half hour, and I use this phrase in every show, but it is absolutely true in this one. Taylor Jacobs has got hospitality in his DNA, just like the rest of us. And it's been a pleasure.
Appreciate it.
Will see you tomorrow at the second annual California Lodging Investment Conference. And for any of our attendees that are listening, make sure you meet this gentleman tomorrow. He will be there all day. He's got a great company. They're going to do some really terrific projects in the great state of California.
Well,
thank you, sir. Good
thanks
seeing you.
For being here.
Yeah, thanks for
pleasure.
Having me.
Yeah.
Appreciate
see you
it.
Tomorrow.
We'll be back, and we've got Arnie Garfinkel on the phone. He'll be joining us, and David Bowman will be taking over the chair now for Taylor. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
Imagine what it would feel like to lose everything. Your job, your home, your family, your dignity. This has happened to thousands of the men, women, veterans, and young adults we serve at Working Wardrobes. What do we do to help? We provide career development services, life skills workshops, job skills training. We provide the perfect interview outfit, and we get clients placed in jobs. Call Working Wardrobes, 714-210-2460. Donate, volunteer, invest. Higher.
Imagine buying a newspaper and discovering that the news you're reading is 6 months old. There isn't much that stays the same for 6 months, and the same thing goes for background checks. In a time when so much outdated information is being passed around, it's good to know that People G2 offers something different. At People G2, we provide today's intelligence, not yesterday's news. Our value-added approach offers you a fully FCRA-compliant solution that includes up-to-the-minute information. By combining industry-leading technology with old-school human investigation, PeopleG2 is able to give you information that is accurate right now, delivered quickly to our online system or integrated with your HR system. So ask yourself, are you comfortable working with old news, or are you ready for a different kind of background check company? Visit PeopleG2.com or call 800-630-2880. That's 800-630-2880 or PeopleG2.com.
From Eureka to San Diego and Malibu to Bakersfield, the California Lodging Investment Conference, CLIC, is one of a kind, focusing exclusively on our Golden States hotel market. CLIC was launched in 2016 by Craig Sullivan, a seasoned hospitality industry professional, to harness the knowledge of our industry leaders, support our community, and educate emerging talent. CLIC brings together lodging professionals from California and beyond for one day of learning, professional development, and networking. If you are an owner, operator, investor, broker, developer, lender, management company, brand, or professional services provider, you should plan on attending CLIC 2 on March 8, 2018 at the Hilton Irvine Orange County Airport. We invite you to go check out the California Lodging Investment Conference website at cliconference.com for the latest details and sponsorship opportunities. Early registration now open, and as a listener of the Checkout California Radio Show, please make sure to use our exclusive discount code of CHECKOUTCA when registering for this one-of-a-kind California hospitality event that sold out in its very first year.
All right, we're back as we play musical chairs here with Craig and his guests.
Hi, I'm Craig Sullivan.
And I'm Rod Gantus.
And welcome back to the second part of Checkout California. No, that is not Taylor Jacobs. He did not age in 2 minutes. This is Mr. David Bowman.
That's what happens when you're on the show with Greg and I. You get old.
Thank goodness for Taylor.
So we've got David Bowman.
He's aged well, though, don't you think?
Yes.
Yeah.
From Amber Hotel Company.
Hey, David. It's truth is truth, my friend.
Okay, David's with Amber Hotel Company, and he is also the 2018 president of CLIA. And we will get to what CLIA stands for in that organization. But first, we're going to bring in Arnie Garfinkel of the All-Star Group, who's on the telephone.
Hello.
Arnie, how are you?
Hey, how you doing?
Have you been listening, Arnie? Have you been just kind of like in the shadows?
No, I heard the commercial for the conference tomorrow, and then that beautiful music and wonderful introduction by Craig.
What's the name of the conference?
What conference is this?
The CLIConference.com.
California Lodging Investment Conference.
And it's sold out again this year.
Exactly. Yeah, it sold out so much that we're busting at the seams.
We are.
Yeah, we got security at the door. They're turning people away tomorrow. But I actually been telling people all day. I did a couple of videos about this, and it's a busy couple of hectic days. Very exciting time. And congrats again to my co-host here for pulling off another year. Yep. But I wanted to tell everybody it sells out, man. We're going to change the venue for accommodating other people next year. And I encourage people to go and check out what this is all about. It's the only conference focused on California hospitality. And it's CLIconference.com. So go check it out. Get in early next year because you snooze, you lose.
Right? Well, absolutely. I got to tell you, Arnie is the behind-the-scenes person and helps co-produce this with me. And Arnie, thank you for everything.
He's an all-star, isn't he?
He is an all-star.
Yes.
And Arnie has also got three conferences of his own, including one coming up next month in Long Beach that I am moderating a hotel panel, and Rad Gantos will be one of my panelists, along with Stephen Semp from Crew Real Estate Group, and the one, the only, Larry Broughton from Broughton Hotels. So we've got an all-star hotel group at the All-Star Commercial Real Estate and Lending Conference.
How about that? All-star word keeps coming around. Why
now
is that?
You know why I called the company that name. Only deal with stars.
That's right. Well, Arnie, good to have you. Where are you calling from?
Well, right now I'm in Commerce, halfway between running around this morning downtown LA to Commerce, and then I'm heading down to Orange County to set up the conference for you guys.
Awesome.
We'll see you there in probably about 45 minutes to an hour. So
got it.
It give me a call after the show.
Arnie, thank you very much for everything. Appreciate you calling in. I know that you had a lot going on this morning, and I thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah. You know what, Craig? You call me when you're done, because I'll be driving.
I'll get some applause for Arnie.
Hey. Hey, thank you. Enjoy the rest of your show, guys. I'll see you later.
Take care, Arnie.
Bye, Arnie.
Bye. It was good to hear from Arnie. He's, I tell you,
he's a busy guy.
He is a very busy guy. My conference takes up a lot of his time, and we're just like 30 days out from his. So, you know, he's at that critical spot where he needs to get his stuff dialed in.
How long has
he
been doing his conference?
He's been doing his conferences for, it started out with one, and I think that was 20 to 25 years ago at this point. And, I came on board with him when I was with the title insurance company, and we co-created the San Francisco or Bay Area conference and the San Diego conference together. And LA has always been the home base and always, you know, drawn big numbers, and followed by San Francisco and then San Diego. And then, there was just a lot of things going on in the industry, and I couldn't participate because of some legislative changes and licensing, so I kind of walked away from all of it. But that's probably 15 to 20 years ago. It's probably about when I got the bug to really put on a conference, and I could never quite get over the hump in getting a major hotel component added to it, because it was just so dynamic and so full. And you know, initially, I was coming out of another conference, and I kept thinking to myself, every conference we go to is got a national and international taste to it. Mm-hmm. And California at that time was the sixth largest global economy. And hospitality, travel, and tourism, which are the three components for this radio show, are a huge economic engine for this state. And we celebrate this state every day. And I couldn't figure out why we didn't have a hotel conference focused on hotel investment and lending, just dealing with the great state of California.
Especially the diversity of that industry encompasses in California, right?
I mean, if you look at, let's look at the diversity in our trade organizations that are attending. And I'm going to end with David, because then he can talk about it. But we've got AHOA, the Asian American Hotel Owners Association. We've got the Latino Hotel Owners Association. We've got the Boutique and Lifestyle Lodging Association. Mm-hmm. We've got the California Hotel and Lodging Association. We've got the American Hotel Lodging Association. And then we've got CLIA, who is one of our partners and has been with the California Lodging Investment Conference from the beginning. And I'm very proud to say that my friend David Bowman, we go back to early 1990s, is a tremendous broker over at the Amber Hotel Company, and he is the current president of CLIA. And welcome. We're finally going to get you on the air now.
Thank you, Craig. Thank you, Rad.
It's nice to have you here.
Tell us what CLIA stands for.
Yeah, what does it stand for?
CLIA stands for the California Lodging Industry Association. It has been around 70 years. It's a long-time association.
You had a name change, too. It used to be Innkeepers, wasn't it?
Yeah, well,
long time ago. Long time ago.
CLIA's been through a lot in its evolution to what it is today, and we're continuing to evolve.
That's a good thing.
I'm fortunate to have the opportunity to build on the foundation that a lot of good people laid down before me. It's an exciting organization. We have a lot of things going on. We're very proud to be partners with CLIC from the very beginning. They're a sponsor of CLIA, and we're a sponsor of CLIC.
Yep.
They help with some of our very special projects, which I'll get into a little bit later. But I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to be on the show representing both CLIA and Amber Hotel Company. That's my day job.
Mm-hmm. Why don't you tell us about your day job a little bit?
Well, my day job pays the bills.
There you go.
Amber Hotel Company is a commercial real estate brokerage. All we do are hotels, just hospitality in California, out of California. There's 12 of us. We've been at this for 20 years. I've been there 17 of those 20 years. We represent hotels currently in about 20 different states. We have over 60 hotels listed for sale, at Amber Hotel Company, and they run the range from small mom and pops all the way to large full service hotels.
Okay.
We have a really diverse group of people with us. We have former hotel owners and operators. One of our brokers started with Hyatt when Hyatt was small. He opened up Hyatt Hotels all over the world. Shuckleport. We're quite a group. Started by Steve Post years ago, whose family was a hotel owner
right.
and operator. Steve was a general manager at their hotel, so he knows the business inside and out. Yeah. So I'm fortunate to be on board there. We do.
I think I know
business.
That hotel where he worked as a GM.
Do you?
It was in Torrance, wasn't it?
Yeah. So it's quite a group. My background is finance. I used to be a CPA. In fact, Taylor and I have some things in common. We both trained at a facility many years apart. He was a consultant before he got into his hotel business. So I'm happy to be here, happy to be part of the program.
Absolutely. Tell us a little bit more about CLIA's Dollars for Scholars program. That's very near and dear to you.
Yeah, CLIA provides a number of services for hotel owners and the people that service the hotel industry. Just a couple things. We have a lobbyist in Sacramento that is following every single bill that would potentially affect hotel owners so that we can make people aware of it. We can speak up, have our voice heard. We have a free legal helpline for our members, which a lot of our members use. Operating a hotel in California is tricky.
There's a lot of litigation.
There's a lot of litigation.
Risk, yeah.
Every single year, there's new laws that pertain to hotels that hotel owners have to be aware of. Today, it's human trafficking. There's a bill now for panic buttons. These are things that hotel owners need to know about, and we help educate them. We help speak for them in Sacramento. We have a lot of really valued vendors that provide discounted services to our members, everything from insurance to credit card processing, OTAs, you name it. We have an expo in the fall. Those vendors exhibit. We have sponsors, and we have presentations on topics that we think are of interest to hotel owners.
Rad and I were there last year.
Yeah, we were.
You were in California.
How do people find out about that conference?
Well, we have a pretty extensive database. We advertise pretty heavily, a lot of emails. We have a table at CLIA to help let people know about that conference as well. And one of the things we do there is my pet project, and that's our scholarship fund. A couple years ago, we gave out a scholarship to a young student who explained that her dad had died 5 years earlier. Her mom died that year. She had two younger siblings. She was working nights and trying to go to school, because she desperately wanted to get into hospitality. I was on the podium. I looked out into our audience, and I just saw eyes glistening. It choked me up.
Yeah.
And when I walked her to the elevator after we gave her her scholarship check, I gave her all the cash I had in my pocket. I was that touched by her story. And from that day forward, I've worked hard to expand the scholarship fund. Last year, we gave 6 scholarships to students. It's expensive out there for these kids to go to school.
It is, yeah.
My student loan payment when I graduated was $77.14 a month.
Wow.
I paid it for 15 years. That doesn't get you a day of education now. And it's tough. There's a lot of good people that want to be in our industry, and this is our chance and my chance to give back.
Back a little bit.
My own 2 kids got scholarships when they went through college during the recession, and they were very helpful to our family.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big deal. It's very, very expensive out there. I have a question, and I kind of touched on it a little bit in my show earlier. Are there other paths for people? Like, we're talking about scholarship, we talk about education, we talk about going, you know, like getting a hospitality degree or whatever. Are there other paths for people? Is it still valid, that path of growing through the business, starting at the bottom, going up? How important is education in our industry now?
Well, I think it goes hand in hand with experience. You know, there's no substitute for hands-on experience. No question about it. But as the industry becomes more sophisticated, I think it requires an educational aspect too. Just to be aware of all the different environmental factors that affect.
Absolutely agree with you. Yeah. So,
especially if you're pursuing as a career. But I kind of posed the question because I wanted, and thank you for kind of like hitting the ball, the low lob. But it used to be that the industry was very much, you know, experience, grow through the ranks kind of thing, right? Stick it out. But I think it is becoming more sophisticated.
Mm-hmm.
The competitive nature of the market is what it is. The litigation pass aspect of it, the specialization in
publicly
a particular
held
market,
companies
marketplace.
And everything else. Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Yeah,
and so if somebody is pursuing it as a career path, that education becomes super critical.
Yeah. It does.
And continuing education, even, like mm-hmm. continuing learning.
Sure.
Right.
Well,
sure.
You know, that you see lately, you know, we probably all get the same email blast from our trade organizations and, mm-hmm. and from our, you know, hotel management magazine and the others that are out there.
Yep.
There was all types of scholarship programs and reduced tuitions for people that are currently working in the industry that want to go to certain schools. And, you know, that's something that I think that the hospitality industry, besides giving back, has been ahead of the curve on than virtually any other industry out there.
You know what? What I was fascinated with recently, since we're talking about it, is scholarships or awards and recognitions that translated to money for students that were geared towards students from individual industries or sub industries within the hospitality industry, wellness, spa. You know, one of the things that I came across my desk yesterday. Specifically to students, but they're looking at the students as innovation spots, as actually like people that are not encumbered by the bureaucracy of doing something the same way they've done for less than years. And the industry is getting smart to the point where they're delving to the student to see if there's innovation or inspiration that can be derived from these things, which I thought was very smart. This is this is a little bit more getting out of your own way and actually looking for ideas wherever they may be.
Well, this generation is so versed in social media, and ideas fly so fast across social media, and they're in tune with what's going on, because one of the big changes is technology.
Right.
To think about how you check in at a hotel today versus how we used to check in 30 years ago.
Well, and applying that technology in a really a meaningful way for that end user and guest, not just sitting in a boardroom trying to figure out how much technology to bring on board. It's like you actually have the benefit of somebody who's telling you, this is how I interact with technology. Mm-hmm. It's not about buying the biggest technology out there. It's whether it actually works the way I interact and I function.
Yes.
And sometimes that the two conversations are not the same.
Right. Right, because it does influence behavior.
Yeah,
and it influences the behavior and expectations of guests when they walk into.
It's. I mean, I teach a class on hotel design at the Art Institute just up the street here, and it's fascinating to have. I mean, other than the fact that, you know, and I can say this in this room because we're all of sort of a similar age bracket, more or less. But you know, Paul's older. That's why we keep him off camera, right? But we really don't want to scare the people like that. But no, it's fascinating. I was very depressed when I first walked in to teach my first class there, because I was like, I'm looking around, and I'm asking questions, and I'm like, oh my god, is there people under 20 in this class that I'm teaching? Right? It's really fascinating because, you know, I don't believe in that other side of the equation. Ah, millennials, you know, they basically don't know what they want, and I've heard that from every generation, including mine, right? It's amazing what resources are there, what lessons can be learned, but if you really open yourself to that kind of input.
Mm-hmm.
And so, awesome on the scholarship. I mean, that's how many scholarships are you looking at this year?
We gave out 6 last year. My goal is 12 this year.
Wow.
And what we're doing, we're asking our members and other hotel owners if they'd be so kind to donate a room night or two. We have an online auction.
Two nights, everybody. Two nights.
Yes, 2 nights would
be great. Not 1 night. You don't get to tease the person with 1 night. Yeah. You got to give them 2.
Or multiple nights.
Or multiple nights.
Each property.
Yeah. See, the more we talk about it, the longer it's going to be a retreat than a weekend.
Well, what we do in the old days, silent auctions used to be held in a room and you'd write down your bid on a piece of paper. Now it's online.
What's the website?
The website is biddingforgood.com.
Okay.
4 is spelled out, F-O-R, biddingforgood.com. Our auction on that site is /CLIA dollars. So you can go to that website. You can see we have 25 hotels that have already donated room nights. Mm-hmm. You can go there. The bidding starts at click.
Yep.
Yep. We're timed together to start at 8 o'clock in the morning, the same day click starts. People can bid up until April 22nd. So that's one source of revenue for us.
And that's tomorrow morning.
That starts tomorrow morning.
So when you're drinking your coffee in the morning,
And, you basically get on that site and you start bidding.
But that doesn't mean we turn down cash. We're
right.
always happy to have cash contributions. In fact, we have a named scholarship program, which I think is very special.
Yeah.
If somebody contributes $1,500 or more, that goes right through 100% to the recipient. You don't see that with very many charities.
No, you don't.
I love that.
And those named scholarship donors can come to our expo in the fall, and they can present that check directly to the recipient.
That's fantastic.
Learn about the recipient.
Yeah,
it means a lot to our donors. It means a lot to the recipients because they're there with hotel people.
Yeah.
They just get this wonderful look on their mm-hmm. face. This is heaven to mm-hmm. them. And we've actually had some of our recipients impress the donors so much, they've gotten job offers mm-hmm. at the expo.
Well, it's the first degree of separation yeah. from the actual person benefiting from your donation.
Yeah, it's right there.
Yeah, it doesn't get more personal than that.
Yeah, so we're yeah. really encouraging named scholarships, but donation of hotel room nights are great for our auction, cash anytime. And
absolutely.
It's a great way to give back to kids that really appreciate it.
And
really
I encourage everybody to check it out because there's some good stuff on there, and it starts tomorrow. So get on that website. Start bidding.
Yes,
it all goes to a good
do.
Cause. And that's amazing, David. I mean, 6 to 12, I mean, you're doubling the number of scholarship, hopefully, this year. That's fantastic.
Well, the ambition that Craig has kind of rubs off on people. what he's done with Cliff,
it's true.
It has been inspiring to me. So I'm trying in a very small way to emulate what he's done at this conference.
You know, it's a lot of help from a lot of different sources. So it's but, you know, again, the California Lodging Investment Conference, CLIC, is very proud of the association with CLIA and being able to do a donation. We'll have a check ceremony at the conference tomorrow afternoon. David's going to be kicking off the silent auction and the Dollars for Scholars tomorrow at CLIC. And hopefully we can do some good. And you know, David, I would really encourage you to give me some blog content on how this is going.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And we can post it to the CLIC blog.
Great.
On a regular basis. And maybe, you know, the recipients can write an article or two, you know, how their semester at school's gone and, you know, what they're, you know, where they're at, what they're focusing on. And then, you know, is it hotel development? Is it management? Is it, you know, a certified accountants program? You know, those type of things.
How many years have you been doing the scholarship there?
Well, the CLIA has always had a scholarship fund, and we've only solicited cash in the past. But once I learned about the silent auctions website,
made it a lot easier.
It really sparked it because we have hotel owners that really want to do something. Yeah. They really want to help. And this is, and they can get great publicity. Some of our hotels got over 20,000 impressions mm-hmm. on this website.
Oh, yeah, it's a win-win for sure.
And we have sponsors. CLIC is a sponsor. Their logo is on that auction website. Those sponsors get mm-hmm. a lot of impressions as well. So it's a great way to advertise your hotel, your organization, as well as
and
help
you're,
out
you're
kids.
Doing cash. You're doing, you know, two-night stays. Hint, hint.
Gift.
and you're also doing like Laker tickets, Rams tickets,
sure.
a few other things that people are donating to help awareness and to raise the all-in, you know, cash contribution to the students.
Yeah. Gift cards, Starbucks gift cards. Yeah. There's a Lululemon
there you go.
Gift card for those of you into athletic wear.
Yeah.
That's
I got a 94 grand
Great. Now my wife's about to
200,000 miles.
So, honey, start bidding tomorrow morning.
yeah,
they got Lululemon.
yeah, the bid went right past $100 last year. It was great.
Okay, but I want to put this out, and I didn't check in with my co-host, but I'm sure he'll be okay with it. But you know what's interesting to me is I think we should probably hear from these students. I mean, if you've been giving these scholarships out, I'd love to basically have these people either call in or maybe have a couple of them on the show on one of our check out California
bring
shows
in,
and bring them
some,
in. And actually, I'd love to hear how that is because we never really, you know, sometimes with these things, it's like, oh, it's great. Here's the check, but you never really hear the positive impact that happened.
Yeah.
To them or their experience of, you know, in some cases, it's monumental change. I mean, it just opens up doors, that allows them to continue down a path. So I'm putting it out there to you, David, you know, just if any time you want to do that, please, we'd love to have them come share their
Bring them into the studio and we'll, you know,
you can even come with them.
Well, you really want to hear from the students. The students are pretty eloquent.
Yeah, but we'd like to hear
but we also
want to
hear from
them
because it's the living example of what that is doing. So.
Okay. That's a great idea.
Love to have you guys.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. It's good for people to see where the money's going and the impact that it's having. We had a family come last year with a recipient, and I remember handing the check, and the whole family.
Oh, it's a shared experience, absolutely. Yeah,
it was, because the money is unrestricted. It doesn't have to
see. That's another whatever thing that their I like, it's unrestricted. Are.
See, so. people sometimes forget that may be the first person in that family that's actually going to college.
Yes, in that case, I think that was very true, and they were honored that they would be recognized because they have to be a good student as well as have financial need. We work with the financial aid.
Yeah, they're being recognized in front of their family. The family is basically they're showing them support. I mean, it's really a beautiful
win-win-win.
It's a win-win-win.
Yeah.
Hey, we're cutting it off. Rad's got to go set up the stage. Thank you for being a sponsor for Click. And Paul will be there tomorrow as well. David will be there. I do want to thank Chris Hostert, Ed La Civita, Park West General Contractors for being a huge sponsor, not only of Click, but of Checkout California. And Nancy Nguyen, my left and right arms tomorrow, along with Arnie Garfinkel and my son, Sean Sullivan. So thank you all very much.
I do want to put it out to anybody who's listening who's going to be at the conference, too. Come find me or Paul. Greg's going to be too busy. But come find me and Paul, and let's get you guys on camera. We'll do a little live feed on Facebook on OC Talk Radio or the Checkout California page. I want to hear about what you guys think about the conference. If you're a returning participant, definitely want to hear from you. Let's get you on camera. Maybe we'll even talk about getting you on the show. So looking forward to seeing everybody tomorrow.
Exciting also, you time. Got Glenn Houseman and No Vacancy. So they'll
the
also
Messiah
be.
The Messiah.
Yeah. He
hospitality is going to be there.
The Messiah will be recording.
Glenn, looking
podcast.
Forward to seeing you, my friend.
Hey, he got out of New York this morning, and so did Dina Bakewitz. Bruce Ford is on his way from Germany. So everything is going well.
It's like home week.
Yes, it is.
A great program. You got a great program.
Check out California. Check out the California Lodging Investment Conference, and we will see you in 2 weeks.
Thank you for being our guest today on Check Out California. We look forward to having you as a guest with us again in 2 weeks. Until then, you can always reach us through our Check Out California Facebook page or by emailing us at checkoutcalifornia@gmail.com. We love hearing from you, so do let us know what you think of the show and what areas of interest you'd like to see us cover in the future. Your feedback is very important to us as we continue to bring you the best hospitality our Golden State has to offer. Until next time, may all your days be filled with sunsets and palm trees. Now, go experience and check out California.